You are Locked On Cardinals, your daily Arizona Cardinals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Bo Brock, Alex Clancy, give us a follow on Twitter at Bob Brock, the easiest way to find me. Find Alex Clancy at Clancy's Corner and at Locked On AZ Cards. Also follow Alex on Instagram for all those recipes. He's new to the kitchen, and my God, it's a flavor explosion going on in each and every evening in Clancy's kitchen each and every night. That's fantastic, yeah. Alex.
Listen, it's been fun, you know. It took me 36 years. And then I finally realized, oh, what is this kitchen thing? What is the stove? I know the microwave, my way all the way around a microwave. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been a nice outlet during this quarantine time.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, your palate has expanded nearly 200% since you've been in lockdown.
Not just In and Out and Taco Bell anymore,
that's
baby.
That's right. And you've expanded your cooking horizons from hot pockets to chicken thighs and vegetables. It is Locked On Cardinals, presented by Pepsi, made for football watching. Of course, this football season will be different. Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch the season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day to become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it, made for football watching. And that's Alex, trusty companion, right there with him, that blue can, as he cooks up each and every meal every night at the Clancy household. I do have to say, big shout out to our new friend, RJ in Yuma, hitting us up at Locked On AZ Cards and on social media. He appreciates our unbiased opinions, and that's what this podcast is about. We have fun, we get excited when the team plays well, but we don't sugarcoat things when things aren't going well. Also, Camping Coyote, I thought he had some nice things to say to us. He said that we kind of talked him off the ledge the day after the Cardinals loss to the Seahawks on Thursday night. And we're not monotone. We're passionate no matter what our take is, Alex.
Yeah, you know, love it or hate it, it's nice that, you know, believe it or not, Bo and I do like each other. And it's fun where I think that we're totally on the same page, and he comes in with the hook like, I couldn't disagree more. I'm like, sweet, we're going to extend our podcast by 10 minutes today. But yeah, we really appreciate everybody that listens. We're not Cardinals fans in the purest sense. I mean, I've lived here 10 years, Bo, around the same. But it's just unadulterated. We enjoy, we love football, we love the theory behind it, and the Cardinals are a fun team to cover, that's for sure.
And also, RJ in Yuma, I mean, my wife is from Yuma. I spent a lot of time in Yuma. I love me some chili pepper, the bean and cheese burrito, some rolled tacos. I'm here for it. Alex has never, I think the farthest you've traveled in the Phoenix metropolitan area is Mesa. Is that right?
I took the 10 to Yuma, Bo. No, I am. When I go to San Diego, I always drive through Yuma. I stop at the In-N-Out there. I stop at the bevy of gas stations. I have all the choosings that I need. I mean, that's pretty much the extent on the 8 freeway.
All right.
But I've eaten there a couple times.
You're way more well-traveled than I give you credit for. We have a lot to get into on this episode of Locked On Cardinals. We are going to kind of look at the Cardinals' path to the postseason. Which teams are a threat to knock the Cardinals out of the playoffs? Because as of right now, they are 7 out of 7. They're in the dance right now, but there are a couple teams that can be a threat to the Cardinals as there's 6 more games left to play in the season. And we'll also look at the division. I mean, they're just a game back in the division. Now, the Washington football team's closer to a division title than the Cardinals by a half game. But the Cardinals are in striking distance, but they're not the team trending in the right direction. I think that would be given to the benefit of that would be given to the LA Rams or even the Seattle Seahawks following their win on Thursday night. But I want to talk about the upcoming contest first. The Cardinals, they already took care of the biggest dual threat quarterback in the NFL, and I think that they should be able to handle Cam Newton come week 12. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm Bo Brock along with Alex Clancy. Now, Cam Newton, Alex, is playing better, but it's no excuse for the Cardinals to let the former NFL MVP turn back the clock on Sunday.
We just don't know which Cam Newton we're going to get. We saw early on in the season, and they were playing a Miami team that didn't really have an identity yet. I can't remember the second team they played, but it wasn't a good team where Cam just ran all over them. And it was Cam Newton from Carolina where, you know, you need to score. Let's just rely on Cam's legs for the entirety of this drive. And that's the Cam that scares me more. Regardless of what the secondaries look like, you know, they've still had issues. You know, Byron Murphy was on COVID for a week, and Drake Kirkpatrick has whelmed. I guess he hasn't underwhelmed, but he's just kind of been a guy on this roster. He's given up some big plays. I'd rather have Cam Newton beat them with his arm than with his legs. I think that's a pretty obvious statement to make. I'm just scared that they're not going to be able to stop him with whatever packages they put in place, even though Rex Burkhead is probably out for the year with the leg injury. Sony Michel's back off IR. They have a bevy of backs, and if you see Cam Newton start to run all over this defense, that just not only opens up the pass game in some capacity, but it opens up holes for all the other running backs that they bring out of the backfield.
Yeah, they like the Arizona Cardinals where they have three running backs. You know, and it's either Damian Harris, Cam Newton, James White. They've got a stable of running backs regardless of Rex Burkhead being healthy or not. Just like the Cardinals, they have Kyler Murray, Chase Edmonds, and Kenyon Drake in no particular order. But you look at the last four games, Cam Newton has six total touchdowns, no interceptions. He does have one fumble, so he's taking care of the football better than it. In games previous to that, four rushing touchdowns and completing nearly 70% of his passes. So he's playing better. But I think that the Arizona Cardinals do have the playmakers on defense to make life tough for Cam Newton at home in Foxborough, because what they were able to do, and you're exactly right, and it's might be an oversimplification, is that they need to beat him. They need to make Cam beat him them with his arm. And Josh Allen was able to do that. He essentially had the Cardinals beat before the Hail Mary. He was quite successful. But he was on the ground, seven rushes for 37 yards and no scores. And if you look at the season so far, the Cardinals' defense has only allowed one rushing touchdown, and that was Cam Newton's successor in Carolina and Teddy Bridgewater on an 18-yard scamper. Other than that, quarterbacks haven't found the end zone against the Cardinals. So that's a little encouraging to me.
First of all, I can't get over his throwing motion, how he gets throws off.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't. It's like the ball weighs 100 pounds. It's like he's throwing a medicine ball with how long it takes for him to get it off. You know, it's probably a mixture of the type of quarterback they've played. I mean, they played Jimmy Garoppolo and Matthew Stafford. You know, Russell Wilson, I guess, is one that they kept him out of the end zone, but he's more throwing the ball than running this year. I just know that Cam Newton can run over a corner. He can run over some linebackers, or he can push through some linebackers. And yeah, it's nice that they've only given up one rushing touchdown this year, but you know, I don't think that those numbers necessarily directly translate to what the Adonis Cam Newton can still do with his body.
Yeah, but I also, if you look at their last 3 weeks, Tua is not a guy who is a statue in the pocket. He was able to make plays with his legs. Josh Allen the next week, and then as you mentioned, Russell Wilson wanting to get it done with his arm more so than his legs, but fully capable. Now, I know he was a little successful as far as getting out and just extending drives with his legs, not finding the end zone necessarily. But and Cam Newton has been, throughout NFL history, kind of the exception. Like, as far as he's been exceptional in running the football, you know, found the end zone double-digit times before any other quarterback had done that. Kyler Murray has joined him with that statistic. He's dangerous with his legs. We know that. It's just the Arizona Cardinals, if they can maybe slow that down and force him to throw the football. Now, he did throw for over 360 yards in their last game against the Houston Texans, but I honestly think that the Cardinals are in better shape than the Texans as far as defensively. And I would actually take Drake Kirkpatrick taking on Cam Newton as a runner more so than Cam Newton as a thrower at this point in the season of how bad Kirkpatrick has been in coverage.
Yeah, you know, and this is crazy. I didn't know this because obviously we're not following the Patriots as closely. Cam Newton's got 9 rushing touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
You know, so he's still looking to run. Kyler's got 10. Kyler has 10 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. I know that he's their goal line offense. Now, Kyler is. And it's that weird option or off tackle or just, you know, improvisation. But Cam's got 9 rushing touchdowns. That is a focal point of what seems to be obviously a below average offense, especially compared to what's been going on over there over the last 20 years. Just he's a threat still. And yeah, that's the thing that scares me the most about Sunday.
Yeah, and it should be the same side for the Patriots when they look at, you know, how to slow down Kyler and the Cardinals' offenses, how dangerous he is, especially close to the end zone. I think I saw it when I was watching a Patriots game earlier this season when Cam scored either his 7th or his 8th rushing touchdown. They're all in the red zone. Like, Cam Newton's athletic. He's still got some wheels for, you know, relative to most of the quarterbacks in this league. But he's not Kyler Murray where he's dangerous from 30 yards out. He's getting it done closer to the goal line, and the Cardinals just need to be prepared for that. And it's going to be guys like, Haason Reddick. It's going to be guys like Devon Kennard. It's going to be those edge rushers, those linebackers. They're going to have the task of taking him down before he reaches across the end zone. And that's way easier said than done because people have been saying, hey, if we just, you know, combat that, we can slow down whatever offense Cam Newton's been a part of throughout his career. I mean, he's just, that's his game, and that's how he's successful. Cardinals just need to slow it down. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards, and of course, subscribe to the podcast wherever you do get podcasts. Coming up, the Cardinals' biggest threat to their postseason chances. We'll tell you the teams, who you're watching the rest of the season on the scoreboards. It's coming up. It's Locked On Cardinals. I've got to tell you that when it comes to getting and staying in shape, nothing feels as good as the feeling of accomplishment or hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity is, Echelon gives you the fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live on-demand studio-level classes always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. I got to tell you about this Valley-based company that's all about priority number one, and that's protecting your family. And you want to do it safely. The people at Taser believe that safer self-defense is better self-defense. Taser's line of non-lethal self-protection devices are small and lightweight enough to carry with you or in your glove compartment or purse. Yet they're powerful enough to incapacitate an attacker. Guns carry unnecessary risks for you and those around you. And even pepper spray can harm you as much as the attacker. And it's often ineffective. Taser products are safer and easy to use. They use an electrical charge to immobilize attackers for up to 30 seconds, allowing you time to escape and send an emergency dispatch to your GPS location. Taser devices come loaded with features like laser-assisted targeting, emergency dispatch, which will send response teams to your GPS location upon firing. More than 237,000 lives have been saved with Taser network of devices, apps, and personnel. And now you can own a Taser, the number one choice of law enforcement agencies. Protect you and your family with Taser's line of smart self-defense products. Taser is available without a permit in most U.S. states. Get a Taser Pulse Plus or Taser Strike Light at Taser.com with the promo code NFL. Save 15% now at Taser.com, promo code NFL. That's spelled Taser.com, promo code NFL. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Saw a hilarious meme today. It was Carlton Banks and this Jake from State Farm. And they said, now this makes sense. It's Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Made me laugh. Jake from State Farm, kind of a ringer for Devin Booker. And of course, Carlton Banks is Chris Paul 2.0 in those commercials. I appreciate that. I think any Phoenix sports fan would appreciate that. Check out our guy Brendan Kleen over at Locked On Suns. Lots of great things going on as far as that team's concerned. A lot of hype after their 8-0 bubble performance and what they've done this offseason. But the Arizona Cardinals continue to be the king in the Phoenix sports market. They are 6-4 through 10 games. There's 6 games left on the schedule, and the team is 7th. If the, for whatever reason, whatever catastrophic thing went down to end the NFL season today, they're in the dance. But there are a pair of teams that are behind them. They're on the outside looking in, and they're a pair of NFC North teams. And I think Cardinals fans would take comfort in that the Bears and the Vikings are the ones that are vying for the Cardinals' seventh and final playoff spot in the NFC, Alex.
And that's just saying that if the Cardinals win, I mean, they have a one-game lead up on Chicago, and they have a two-game lead up on Detroit, San Francisco, and Minnesota, I believe, in no particular order. They're all 4-6. Yeah, if all three of those teams have the same record for the last 6 weeks, cool. The Cardinals have their buffer. But if they lose on Sunday and one of those two teams wins, we got a whole new ball game. You know, like, the buffer's great until it's evaporated, which is what happens in the NFL when you have a one-game lead. On top of all of that, what an awful week for the Arizona Cardinals with other teams winning, with Seattle obviously beating the Cardinals, and then the Rams winning Monday night against the Bucs. That just muddies everything. Now the Cardinals have zero room for error, and it's not a fun situation to be in. But having said that, they are the better of those three teams for that seven spot, so if they take care of business, they'll be fine.
Yeah, it looks like a favorable schedule for at least the Minnesota Vikings, and the advantage is the Cardinals are two games up on them. I mean, the Cardinals 6-4, the Vikings that's 4-6. They've won three of their last four. They've taken care of business against some, you know, they had a good win at Green Bay, but then they took care of business against bad teams. They did just lose to Dallas and Andy Dalton, but then, you know, they take on a Carolina team. They take on Jacksonville, probably going to lose on the road at Tampa Bay. They have a chance to take care of businesses against Chicago, probably lose to New Orleans, and then you've got the season finale against Detroit. Their final six games, pretty favorable for the Vikings, but at the same time, they can lose to any of those teams. And then you look at the Chicago Bears, they're the ones that are trending in the absolute worst direction. They've lost four straight after a 5-1 start. They've got a game on Sunday night taking on the Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Field primetime, Sunday Night Football. Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, Jacksonville. Having Jacksonville on their schedule helps, but I don't know. I gotta say that the Cardinals are in the driver's seat. You know, even if they drop the next, even if they lose to the Rams and are swept by LA for the season, they still are in the driver's seat with games against Philly, against the Giants, this upcoming weekend against the 4-6 Patriots team, and then a game in week 16 against the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, that's still just equally as favorable with more talent and more of a proven record through 10 games than the two teams vying for their spot.
I mean, I think at this point, on paper, sure, but I think at this point, we need to look at this as the NCAA tournament and look who the coaches are, and not necessarily who's on the field. I mean, the Cardinals are playing, and I talked about this, we'll talk about it again, Bill Belichick, Sean McVay twice, Doug Peterson, regardless of what a crap box team they've put out this year, a lot of injuries, Carson Wentz has played horribly, but Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl without Carson Wentz, and Kyle Shanahan. Like, those five out of the six games are against those head coaches, all of whom are in the upper echelon of coaches in the NFL. So that's what I'm looking at. The Cardinals may have on Sunday the advantage, you know, with the 11 guys on the field, regardless of offense or defense. But Bill Belichick is obviously eons ahead of Cliff Kingsbury. You do the same thing with the Rams. Say, even giving the Cardinals the benefit of the doubt that 1-53, they're even talent wise with the Rams. Sean McVay's not light years. I mean, he's half a light year ahead of Cliff Kingsbury. So, and Kyle Shanahan, you say the same.
No.
So it's
I don't know say what? The same. Kyle Shanahan has one season under his belt. Like, you sound like a San Francisco 49ers Kyle Shanahan.
Oh yeah, cuz that's what I do. Absolutely.
Well, no, I mean, it's let's be honest. Kyle Shanahan has beat the Arizona Cardinals once in his career. Once. And he's not going to have Jimmy G. He's not this offensive just prodigy that people want to make him out to be. I'm not one of those that are just going to buy in hook, line, and sinker into Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan and Doug Peterson. The other two, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Of course, Bill Belichick. Sean McVay hasn't lost to the Arizona Cardinals yet in his career. But as far as Doug Peterson and Kyle Shanahan go, they're only as good as their team is. Like, Doug Peterson had an elite team, and that was excluding, you know, Carson Wentz played at a high level before he dipped out with a bat with the knee injury, you know, in their Super Bowl season. But they had a top five defense. They had an offense that was ready to go, and Nick Foles could just be plug and play. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay what he was able to do, but the last couple seasons, without as much talent on his roster, Doug Peterson has shown that he's a pedestrian head coach. And he just goes the same as Cliff Kingsbury, that sometimes, you know, you can look great dialing up the Philly special. You can look like a genius, but also you can look like a fool with some of your calls on, you know, third and manageable or late in the game when you're calling up, you know, some gadget play. I think Cliff Kingsbury and Doug Peterson and Kyle Shanahan are closer to equal footing, where the other two guys, you're right, they can outmanage you, and they can put you with less talent on their roster in a position to lose a game, and that's the advantage of those coaches in McVay and Belichick, in my opinion.
Would you rather have Kyle Shanahan calling plays for the Cardinals or Cliff Kingsbury?
I think it they're both coaches that are, they live and die by the talent of the roster. And
Okay, fair enough. So say those are pushes. Okay, I'll give you, that's fine. I mean, I don't think the Cliff Kingsbury has an advantage over any of those four teams, any of those four coaches. My point is that we can't just look with these specific teams that they're playing. I don't know if this is just us being like us watching a team that's relevant, but every game seems to have all of these storylines that directly impact the Cardinals in a way that it's not just, oh, the Cardinals, like, it's not like a Lions game that they have down the stretch. All of these games, starting with the first game against Seattle, they got flexed to Sunday night. Every game has these massive implications, mm-hmm. and they're playing good teams and good coaches. Like, I don't know if it's just because now they're relevant and now, you know, there's actual expectations involved, or if this just how the schedule panned out. But regardless, yes, the teams that they play, some of them may have less talent than the Cardinals, but I think that the coaches that coach those teams make up for it in some capacity.
Right. But also, you know, keep in mind and look at the track record, at least in 2020, you know, recent history of these coaches and trying to make chicken salad out of chicken crap. I mean, as far as their rosters are concerned, I think this is probably the least talented roster that Bill Belichick has had in nearly two decades. You know, Doug Peterson, I watched Philly the last couple of weeks, and they're just awful. They can't protect Carson Wentz, and he just looks horrible. And then you've got, you know, San Francisco is just a mess. L.A. is a big threat. L.A. is going to determine how high the Cardinals can go, in my opinion. I mean, you could easily be swept, and looking at the team right now, you know, that adds two more losses to, you know, you're 10-6. You could easily... How LA goes, how you perform against the Rams, you know, if you drop those two games, if you get swept, you know, you're looking at potentially going from single digits to double digit wins, and or, you know, going from 10-6 to potentially 8-8 on the season and sneaking in, and only because the NFC North is not that talented. There's not any good teams outside of the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk about this, though, real quick, because it is an interesting topic, and we talked a little bit about it on Tuesday's podcast, is, you know, are the Arizona Cardinals' chances at an NFC West title, are they done? Let's debate that. It's Bo, it's Alex, it's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network. So we told you about an affordable way to get in shape from the comfort of your own home with Echelon. We talked about taking care of your family, protecting them with Taser. That's the number one priority. And then there's Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. It should be your old trusty that you carry around with you that's ready to go when hunger pains kick in. You need a little protein to get you going and you're not sacrificing taste, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. And it's more of a new and improved and deliciouser than before. How's that possible? 6 new flavors to go along with the 12 original flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, and then add on top of this, if you're dreaming of a white Christmas, introducing the all-new white chocolate bar. While supplies last on Black Friday, it's a white chocolate cookies and cream, 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, just 5 grams of sugar. Or how about this? The white chocolate salted caramel. My mouth is watering just saying that. It's 130 calories, but 17 grams of muscle-packing protein and just 4 grams of sugar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Get 20% off for Black Friday. Plus, don't forget to use the promo code to get an extra percent off. That's locked on, one word. BuiltBar.com, promo code locked on, 25% off Black Friday, plus an extra percent off because we love you. We are going to talk to our buddy Mike DiBate from the Locked On Patriots podcast. He's going to join us. Very dialed in Patriots reporter. Great episode each and every day churned out by Mike. That's coming up on tomorrow's edition of Locked On Cardinals, and we're breaking down this contest from behind enemy lines, getting some insight about Cam Newton, about Bill Belichick in his first season without Tom Brady under center. I think we've mentioned this before, that Bill Belichick is 2-0 and without Tom Brady already under center as Patriots head coach against the Arizona Cardinals. They lost the season opener on Sunday Night Football with Jimmy G under center, and they also lost to Matt Castle the one season that Tom Brady was dealing with a knee injury. It's a huge contest, regardless. I mean, you can, whatever you want to say, the Arizona Cardinals going on the road, playing in Foxborough, pretty much heading to the Death Star and taking on, you know, the evil genius that is Bill Belichick is always dangerous, no matter what his record is, you know, at any point in the season. He's shown that he can get it done. But the Cardinals right now, you know, what a difference a week makes. They were knotted atop the NFC West standings with the Rams, with the Seahawks. They fall to the Seahawks, and now they're a full game behind both of these teams. And I don't know. Does this take them out of contention, in your opinion, Alex, of winning a division title?
Did you think, before I answer, like, we discussed the possibility that if they were to win that Thursday night game, that there's a real conversation to be had surrounding the Cardinals winning the division. But making it to the playoffs is the big prize here. You know, like, it's I don't think they're going to win the division. That answers your question succinctly.
Yeah.
What they had the leg up was, if they were to have won the Thursday night game, was the stranglehold, the 3-0 division record, which would yield any sort of tiebreaker going to the Cardinals if any of those other teams tied with the Cardinals at the top of the division at the end of the year. It doesn't really matter at this point. Like, you can't be upset that the Cardinals didn't get there. I mean, listen, there's a lot of football left. They could beat the Rams twice. We have no idea what the hell is going to happen, obviously. But for all intents and purposes, I think focusing on getting as high a seed as you possibly can in the playoffs is more important than shooting for the division.
Just getting a date to the dance, yeah, and that's what you're saying, is the most important thing. And I think that the NFC West is so tough, and they've cannibalized each other so much so that they've almost taken themselves completely. Maybe the Seahawks, the exception to this, but they have one more game on their schedule against the Rams, out of the running for a top seed. And that's all that matters now with one bye, right? I mean, you've got the Saints and you've got, you know, the Packers that are playing in lesser divisions going forward. You know, and we've mentioned that the Hawks have a more favorable schedule than any of the three teams that are vying for the crown. But you're right. I mean, I don't think at any point there might have been a lapse between the Hail Mary miracle and Thursday Night Football, which was only a few days, where you said, hey, they could win the division. That was the only time. There was like 3 days during this.
Right.
The offseason and all the success they had there. And you know that, you know, divisions aren't won in the offseason. You know, hope springs eternal before that, before any of the games are played. And then you see them come out 2-0, and still you're skeptical. You're like, okay, they beat the Niners. That was nice. You know, the Seahawks are off to a good start. We know the Rams are back after kind of a down season at 9-7. But at that point, you're not giving them that they're going to win the division. Can they just make it to the dance? That's been the whole kind of theme of the season. So, yeah, I don't think that I'm going to change my opinion. I just don't think that they're there yet. But it doesn't mean that they're not ahead of schedule and that they're not on the right path.
Right, of course. And one thing, Cardinals fans, that just start prepping yourself for this now. just mentally, physically, emotionally, there's a good chance that the Cardinals are going to face an NFC West foe in the first round of the playoffs. So you take that for what it is. The chances are, in my opinion, whoever wins the NFC South is going to have the one seed. Whoever wins the NFC West is going to have the two seed. So if the Cardinals sit themselves in, because I don't think the Packers are going to go 13-3 like they did last year. I just don't see it. I mean, you're already starting to see a little cracks in the armor there when they actually play good teams.
I mean, you're looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers potentially. I mean, the only leg up you really get is if you're taking on that NFC East team. I mean, I think that Tampa, New Orleans, L.A., Seattle, they're all teams that you don't want to face in the postseason. So, I think the only advantage you get is if you're taking on an NFC East team in the postseason, and there's only going to be one of them. The rest of them are going to be teams that are absolute threats and contenders to be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl, in my opinion.
I mean, at least the Band-Aid's kind of been ripped off. And this isn't doomsday conversation. This is just taking information that we've received and you know, crunching the numbers and making opinions based upon it. But if the Cardinals can win on Sunday, and, you know, who knows if the Seahawks or Rams will falter here. The Cardinals, like, if you told me they're going to win the division right now, I wouldn't say get the hell out of town.
Sure.
I don't believe you, but it wouldn't be like me dropping to the floor, like, you know, something where, you know, they started 0-7 and then you told me they're going to win the division. They're only one game out. And if they were to rise up the ranks in the NFC West, that means they beat the Rams at least once.
Yeah.
You know, so at this point, they're every week that we get further and further into the season, it seems like there's less questions about the actual roster and gameplay, but more questions about what the future of this team holds.
It's very rare. It's just, we've talked about the NFC is just such a, there's no elite teams right now in the NFC. There's just no clear-cut favorite. They're very flawed teams up and down. I mean, we've seen it with Tom Brady can't take care of the football despite his embarrassment of riches on offense. We've seen, you know, Drew Brees' rib cage is basically turning to dust. It's he has 11 broken ribs. You've got Taysom Hill, pretty much your starting quarterback, which if you're a Saints fan, it was an encouraging performance, especially for Alex's fantasy team. And then you've got you know, Green Bay, who just crapped away a game over the weekend. I mean, there's just no team, and especially, and then within the division, you know that the Cardinals can compete. It's what you said is true. It's like if the Arizona Cardinals win the NFC West, yeah, I wouldn't say that you're nuts. If the Arizona Cardinals don't win the NFC West and they go on the road and they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and they win, I would say, yeah, that's possible. I think that they could also go on the road and lose to a Patriots team. And they've lost to teams that they shouldn't lose to in Carolina and Detroit. But they beat teams that, you know, you wouldn't thought before the game that they were going to win. So they can contend with anybody, but at the same time, there are enough flaws to where they're not perfect and they're susceptible to being beat. That's what makes this team so interesting, especially in 2020. It's Locked On Cardinals, part of your Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We love you guys hitting us up on Twitter at Locked On AZ Cards. Finding me as well, Bo Brock at Bob Rack. And Clancy's Corner, at Clancy's Corner, Alex Clancy. Tomorrow, our guy, Mike DeBate, from Lockdown Patriots, he's going to give us, actually, this is Friday's episode. We're taking Thanksgiving off. Hopefully you are as well, and you enjoy some time with your family and friends. Get some turkey. Be safe about it. Enjoy the games. And we'll talk to you guys with a fresh new podcast, crossover edition, full game preview on Friday.